Marty Lurie here with Brian Sabian and Giants Baseball. And Brian, you know, I've talked to Peter McGowan and finding out getting the club and Frank Jordan, the chief of police and the mayor and everything that went on. But I've never gotten your story as to how you got involved with the Giants, because you're a major part of all the success of what happened. How did they come to you?
Well, a little bit, I guess, long-winded or convoluted, as you'd say. When I was with the Yankees as the scouting director, which I was 86 through the 90 draft, in and around, I guess it was post-draft, Bob Quinn reached out because this would have been in 89, excuse me, and him and Lou Piniella were about to take over Cincinnati. And they actually asked permission for me to go over there. And ironically, I had just signed an extension. So, of course, the kibosh was put on that ability to free myself up. Not that I was really looking, but looking back, it would have been a good experience to reunite with Lou. As well as, if you remember, they went wire to wire in 90, won a World Championship. And then Bob, fortuitously, was in position to become the GM with the Giants at the end of the 92 season. And as a result, I had a little bit more footing to be able to look to the outside, only because Mr. Steinbrenner was actually banned from baseball. So he was behind the scenes and he had no day-to-day involvement. And it was monitored very thoroughly and in a real hard and fast way by the commissioner's office. So to make a real long story short, after a lot of pushing and shoving, I was given the ability to interview, which I did in San Francisco. And then, I guess, the fun starts. Now, obviously, we can't revisit this with Peter, but I think Larry would have a pretty good recollection. And they could be more factual from their side. But all of a sudden, for me to be able to go to San Francisco, they wanted compensation. And from my recollection, it was going to be in the form. The ask was in minor league player form and or money. Now, as it turned out, because of that and because of Peter finalizing the deal to actually take the team over, there was a moratorium on whether I could go there or not, and we went off to the winter meetings, me as a Yankee, and Bob had become the GM before the winter meetings in Louisville, and the rest became history. I was lucky enough after the winter meetings to get in a position to take the job with San Francisco, which was, I look back, I think my thinking was not that my time was served with the Yankees, which was a tremendous experience. I'm sure we'll get into that. But and I had been given some assurances that I was going to be the next man up, and I was the number two behind Gene Michael. But I kind of looked at the San Francisco situation and Bob hand-picking me to want to come to assist him as almost like an expansion opportunity. And I thought there might be more creative license or ability to do some different things that we didn't get a chance to do in New York. And again, I had a tremendous experience there and, you know, don't regret any day of my professional life as it's unfolded, but especially with the Yankees.
So you're an East Coast guy, though. Now, here at San Francisco with cable cars and hills and Candlestick Park, well, what was the lure of San Francisco for you? What did you know about it?
Well, where I got lucky because of being scouting director, and it hasn't changed all that much, you're on the road constantly. So, for instance, I would find a way to either get on a reasonable flight, actually from New York, to get to a night game on the West Coast. This is pre-draft, on a Thursday or Friday, and then fly back on a red-eye on Sunday night. And, of course, back then, as you were hitting the early part of the schedule, being that you were going to be in Florida, California, and Texas because of the weather, I had a chance to also spend enough time in the Bay Area, seeing the Cals and the Stanfords, to get a feel that, ironically, San Francisco was very much like an East Coast city. And that was a big attraction. And I think, again, looking back, maybe my best recollection of the excitement, not only for myself but my family at that time, was that it was going to be a challenge. But I mean, California, San Francisco, famed and in the national city. So it wasn't that big a leap of faith. And now I can't say I would have had the same vision or opinion if Bob hadn't have been there. But yeah. Bob was kind of the safety blanket.
So you walk into Candlestick Park. What did you think about that? Because now you got to start molding a team for that ballpark.
Well, as you remember, we were god-awful in 92. And I shouldn't say that, but there was the regime change, of which, Roger Craig was replaced. Thus, here comes Dusty, and that was heaven sent, as it turned out. And then the roster, starting with Bonds, was, kind of in a state of flux, even though we had some core. If you look back at, the Williams and the Clarks, Manwaring, Lewis, Royce Clayton, and some pitching, Burkett and Swift, there were some makings. And ironically, just what the organization needed, more so the fan base, on the way to eventually getting a stadium, was a season like 93. Yeah. So that was really heaven sent, that opportunity to kind of make something out of that roster. And then, we're probably the biggest reason the wild card came into being. When you win 103 games and you don't go to the playoffs.
Yeah. It's funny, as you look back on your tenure, so you're the assistant to Bob, and you're now at Candlestick, and you're getting a feel for the team. When do you get the job to take over? What happens with Bob?
Good question, because I did have a lot on my plate. Actually, in media guide fashion or job description fashion, when I first came, Tony Siegel was in actuality the assistant GM, but I was a de facto GM. I only phrase it that way is that I spent a lot of time on the road because I was running player development and scouting, including the draft. But, of course, was in touch constantly with Bob, spent most of my time when I could in spring training in and around the Major League Club. To make a long story short, the beginning of the 94 season, excuse me, the 95 season, right around spring training, Bob and Peter came to me individually for different reasons and told me that I was going to get an opportunity to be the head guy. And it was going to happen after the 95 season. And it would be at the end of the 95 season. Now, as things went forward during that season, I was also given the opportunity, really with Bob's blessing, and he was tremendous to work for, one of my biggest, promoters or allies, that pretty much from the second half of that season on, and it was really All-Star break on, that Ned Clitty and I, who was in the organization to be, let me back up. Ned had not yet come into the fold, but we were going to be given a chance to really to get ready for the position, or more so give a report card to Peter, make every trip, and be, kind of the de facto GM to be. So really November 1st of 96, after the 96 season, I missed a year there. I think that experience and the fact that I'd been given enough heads up, that the preparation was put in, the nerves were certainly not a factor, and that you were more than ready because you were given the opportunity to kind of do it behind the scenes much earlier than people thought.
All right, Marty Lurie here, Brian Sabin, back with more right after this.